Hear the word of the Lord today from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Aren't you thankful for that today? Verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Amen. Father, as we open your word and hear your voice in this message, I pray, God, today that you would bless us. Lord, you'd anoint me to preach it, and you would open our hearts that we might receive it and grow by it and walk in your peace. And we'll give you thanks in your strong, matchless name. And God's people said, amen. Give me one more great hand this morning as you're seated in His presence. Amen. Amen. We're in this series today called Fight for Peace. Would you say that with me? Fight for peace. Years ago, Dwight D. Eisenhower said, we're going to have peace even if we have to fight for it. And I want to tell you, if you're going to walk in peace, there are seasons in which you will indeed have to fight for it. You will fight for peace. Amen. We talked last week about peace of mind and how we may lay hold of that peace of mind. And today we're going to continue and talk about finding our peace in God. And that's the passage we've read today. Amen. Jesus promises us His own peace, and we are going to walk through this journey together about the peace of God. Amen. Last week we learned four keys to holding on to our peace from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. The first one we said was, don't panic, pray. Amen. And He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Amen. Then we said, don't worry, worship. He added the word with thanksgiving. Say that with me. With thanksgiving. We don't worry, we worship. And then thirdly, we said, don't melt down, meditate. He said, think on these things. Fill your mind with the truth of God. And then lastly, we said, don't follow emotions, follow examples. Don't cave into your feelings, follow your examples, your role models in the church, those who are more mature in the Lord, who show you how to live the Christian life whenever things are difficult and times are troubled. Amen? And so we've talked about how to hold on to peace of mind. Today I want us to talk about how to find our peace in God. Amen? And we just read Psalm 91 as our text today. I want to draw your attention back to the very first verse. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? I want you to notice with me today, number one, the promised refuge. Say that with me. The promised refuge. Refuge. I'm thankful today we have a refuge in God. Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. The Hebrew says, God is for us a refuge. I'm thankful for that. A help in straits He has been found. Straits are tight places when life is putting the squeeze on you. In those moments, God is for you a refuge. That is the good news that the Bible gives us. Amen? What is this refuge? Well, number one, it is a safe place. That's what a refuge is. It is a place of safety where we can run and we can find protection and covering. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. Could there be any better refuge than under the shadow of the Almighty? In several places in the Bible, He talks about God protecting us under the shadow of His wings. That's a great phrase, the shadow of His wings. Jesus told the children of Israel in His day, He said, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. Sometimes God has a refuge, but we won't run to it. We won't allow Him to gather us and minister to us. But God has promised us it's available if we're open to it. Amen? Psalm 17 and 8, keep me as as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Say the shadow of your wings. The shadow of your wings. Psalm 36 and 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57 and 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings do I take refuge until these calamities have passed by. In Psalm 63 and 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I rejoice. Amen? Amen. You can not only hide in the shadow of the wings, you can rejoice in the shadow of God's wings. Even when trouble is howling around you, there is a safe place where you can still have joy. Trouble doesn't have to steal my peace, and trouble doesn't have to rob my joy. Amen? Amen. Years ago, there was a famous painting that was an art competition that was being done, and these great painters were coming and judging the works of their students, and they asked them all to paint a similar theme. They wanted them to paint a picture of peace, and one after the other, these junior artists took their brush and touched the canvas and gave their best rendition of what peace looked like. One drew a field of flowers with a gentle breeze blowing and a butterfly lighting on one of the blossoms. Another drew a picture of a lake that was clear as crystal and not a ripple in the water, and that was the picture of peace. But there was a third student who took a different approach. He drew a tempestuous sea where the waves were billowing high and the winds were howling, and in one corner of the canvas he painted a little bird who was hidden in the cleft of a rock and still singing even though the storm was howling around him. And the master artist pointed and said, "Now that is a picture of peace." The Bible says we'll have peace like a river. How many of you know not always is a river calm and peaceful? Sometimes it is raging rapids, amen? Even in the midst of the twists and turns and the waves of life, we can have peace in God because we have a refuge that is a safe place. Say a safe place. Though they would not let him, Jesus told the inhabitants of Jerusalem, "I want to gather you under the shadow of my wings." Jesus is a safe place if we'll let him be. Number two, it's a secret place. Say a secret place. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place. That's where we are to hide. You are my hiding place, Psalm 32 and 7 says. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. We have a hiding place. We have a secret place in God. The Bible says in Psalm 27 and 5, "For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He will set me on a rock." Many scholars who have studied the Old Testament believe that David is describing something very particular when he talks about the secret place and the shadow of the Almighty, being under the shadow of his wings in the secret place. If you remember, King David was the one who had the Ark of the Covenant brought back to Jerusalem. He could not bear to be without this symbol of God's presence. And so he had them bring the ark from the tent back to the central city. He had them bring it to where he was so that they could worship in Jerusalem with the presence of God in their midst. Now, he did not reconstruct the tabernacle of Moses there. There was another tabernacle simply called the Tabernacle of David or the Tent of David. What was different about it was this. There were no divisions, no compartments. It was a simple structure that covered the Ark of the Covenant. It covered it on the top and protected it from the elements. However, it was open on the sides and the back, and scholars believe that the sun would shine through and catch the Ark, and the Ark would cast a shadow on the ground. If you remember, on the top of the Ark, there are two cherubim whose wings stretch over the mercy seat. And many scholars believe that when the sun would shine, it would cast the shadow of those angel wings on the ground. down. And when David would come to pray, he would often spend all day in the presence of God before the ark, and he would bow and he would pray. And scholars believe that he would kneel under the shadow of those cherubim wings. And as the sun would move, the shadow would move, and David would move with the shadow, and he would spend the entire day under the shadow of the wings of the cherubim. I want to tell you, there is a secret place. There is a safe place. There is a refuge where you can go. Where is that place? It is the presence of God. And you and I can access that place by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus. We can come in prayer before the very throne of God. We can enter the very presence of God, and we can find Him to be our safe place and our secret place. Amen. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is where? Who is in secret. Do you see it? He's in the secret place. And if you will pray to God in secret, He will reward you. He will answer you and show up for you. Amen? Jesus didn't say you were to pray in secret alone. He didn't just say you were to pray in secret. He said, notice who else is in secret. Pray to your Father who is in secret. God is found in the secret place. Say the secret place. I know sometimes you feel like you're the only one who showed up for your prayer time. When things don't change as quickly as we hope they would, we wonder if God is hearing our prayers at all. But Jesus says, whenever you steal away to your prayer closet and pray, you enter into the secret place of the Most High, and God is found in that place. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I love to hear the stories and read Sister Quinley's book, A Dime's Worth of Faith, when she describes a little plain white building that her mother, Sister Morrison, had on the outskirts of, on the edge of Morrison's nursery. And she would go in there and she would pray and seek the face of God. That little building might have looked rather ordinary on the outside, but I want to tell you, when she walked in and shut the door behind her, she was no longer in a little building on East Drive. She had stepped into the secret place of the Most High, and heaven and earth moved when she prayed. I hope you have a secret place. I hope you have a prayer closet. I hope you have somewhere where you meet with God, because God has promised that in Him we have a refuge. Amen. God is our refuge. It is a secret place. It is a safe place, but we have a promised refuge. Say a promised refuge. And number two, there is a personal requirement. I want you to notice this. The personal requirement. There are two conditions we have to meet if God is going to be a refuge for us. And the first one is simply this. We must run to Him. You must run to the refuge. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. But if you don't run, you won't be safe. If you don't hide in the refuge, you won't be safe. It is not enough to know about the refuge. You have to take shelter in the refuge. Years ago, when Shay and I lived in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, we had some neighbors across the street that had installed a tornado shelter right beside their house in their front yard. And whenever trouble would come and clouds would roll in and those sirens would begin to sound, and it would pop up on your phone that there's a tornado warning in your area, and we would sit there and Shay and I would watch them, and they would come out of their house and they would go over there and they would raise the lid on that shelter, and they would go down the steps into the ground, and they would pull that little lid down on top of them, and they would stay there until they got the all clear from the weather service. They would often call and say, hey, we've got room, do you guys want to join us? Or they'd see me doing what men in the South do during a tornado warning. If you don't know what that is, that's standing on the front porch looking for the tornado. Right? And that's what we do, right, guys? I don't see anything. I'd be standing out there, and my neighbor would wave, and he would yell, and he would say, hey, do you guys want to join us? No, we're good. We got a mattress and a bathtub. We're going to be just fine, right? You see, Shay and I knew about the refuge, but Bull and Betty took refuge They took shelter in the refuge, amen? It's not enough to know that God's a refuge. You've got to run to the refuge. It is amazing to me how many Christians talk about prayer and request prayer and promise prayer. But you know, the thing that I've learned about Christians is that too many times we give prayer a good talking about. But I want to tell you, talking about prayer is not the same as praying. And requesting prayer is not the same as praying. And can I tell you this? People say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I know what you mean by that, and of course I will pray for you. But you will often hear me respond by saying, I will pray with you. Because when some people say, pray for me, they mean, you pray because I'm not going to. Or they mean, I don't have confidence that God's going to hear me, but I believe He might hear you, so you pray instead of me. I will pray for you, I will pray with you, but I cannot pray instead of you. Do you hear me? I can't pray instead of you. I can't do your praying for you. I can join you in prayer. I can agree with you in prayer. And my prayer can strengthen your prayer, but my prayer cannot replace your prayer. Everyone must have his or her own personal relationship with God, and you and I must be able to pray. Amen? I watched one of my own kids go through this when he faced a battle, and he'd watched mom and dad fight battles, but when he went through a battle, he learned how to pray. Amen. I want to tell you, sometimes it takes a fight before you learn how to fight. Amen. Every Christian needs to have his own place of prayer, and we need to run to God. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Do you notice all those personal pronouns? My, me, I. It's not enough to stand in church and sing, God is our refuge. We must be able to go to God one-on-one in prayer and say, God is my refuge. It's got to be personal, amen? In order for God to be my refuge, I must take personal action. It's not automatic. I will say of the Lord, in Him I will trust. Hebrews 6 and 18 says, therefore we who have fled to Jesus for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Whenever you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have run to the refuge. Whenever we confess with our mouth that He's Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, He saves us. When we give up the foolish idea that we could ever earn God's love and forgiveness, when instead we put all of our hope of salvation in what Jesus did by dying and rising again, then you are running to Jesus for refuge. Jesus is our refuge. In the Old Testament, before anyone could enter the Holy of Holies, a sacrifice had to be laid on the altar. Blood had to be shed to atone for sin. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, on the altar of the cross, shed His blood that we've sang about all morning in the house today. He died for us, and when He did, the veil in the temple was ripped in half from the top to the bottom. The door was open for us that we could come into the refuge of God's own presence. We're told in the New Testament that Jesus has opened the way for us. Hebrews says the veil that was torn was Christ's own body, which was ripped open on the cross. The Bible warns us of that, tells us of that. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. That's a rather graphic picture, isn't it? Calvary was graphic indeed, but that is what it took for God to open a way of refuge for us. When you doubt the love of God, I remind you today that God loved you so much, He opened the broken, bleeding body of His own Son that His wounds might be a doorway for you to enter into the very life and protection of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Have you run to Jesus for a refuge? Are you trusting Him as Savior and Lord? He's the only one who can free you from the penalty and power of your sin. Only Jesus can rescue you from the grip of the devil. Only Jesus can be a refuge from the death sentence of sin. We must run to Jesus. Say, we must run. And number two, we must remain. Say that with me. We must remain. This is the second condition. You must run to Jesus and you must remain in Jesus. Pastor, where do you see that in this passage? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Say abide. There's a difference between visiting somewhere and abiding somewhere. I had a friend this week in Mississippi who posted a picture of the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. Many of you have been there. If not, you've seen pictures of that lavish estate, Biltmore, owned by the Vanderbilt family. He posted the picture of the front lawn, and under the caption, he put, "Move-in day." I thought, yeah, right. Maybe when you get to heaven, you'll have one like that, but not here. Move-in day, amen? You see, I can visit the Biltmore Estate, but I do not abide at the Biltmore Estate, amen? I have a friend in Jackson who named his house Biltless instead of Biltmore, amen? Most of us built less, right? A lot less than that. Well, can I tell you today, a lot of people want to visit the presence of God, but they don't want to abide in the presence of God. There are people who run to God when they're in trouble, but they don't live in God on a daily basis. Jesus warned us against that. We're not just to call on God in trouble. We are to abide in Him. He that dwells will abide. We are to stay there. We are to remain there. Amen? Isn't that what Jesus told us? He said to us, we are to abide in Him. He said, come to me. And then He said, abide in me, remain in me. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. There's a condition to finding answers to prayer in the refuge of God. And that condition is we must abide. We must remain in Him. Say, remain. Amen. I had a friend who was driving one day and he hit the ice and his car began to do 360s in the middle of Highway 12 in Holmes County, Mississippi. And his best friend was sitting next to him. She was not a Christian at the time. She didn't know the Lord. And she grabbed hold of the dash of the car and she said, "Oh, Jesus." And my friend looked over at her and said, "You better call on somebody you know." You see, there's a difference in visiting and abiding. I want to live my life in the presence of God so that when I call on Him, He recognizes my name and I have a relationship with Him and He knows my voice and He answers me. We must run and we must remain. Amen? Say that with me. We must run and we must remain. Not only can we remain in His presence in that way, listen, God's presence is a place where you can hide, and it's a place where you can hide your children. Amen? You can hide your family in the house in the presence of God. The Bible tells us about a season whenever this wicked queen named Athaliah was trying to wipe out the descendants of the rightful king. And the Bible says that when Queen Athaliah was destroying the descendants of King Ahaziah so that she could be on the throne, there was one who got away. How did he get away? The Bible says the sister of Ahaziah took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. He was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. I want to tell you, not only can you pray for yourself, but if you've got children and grandchildren who are under your care, they are under your authority and they are under your house. And not only can you pray for you, but God will give you a standing for them and you can come into God's presence. And like Job, you can pray a hedge of protection around them. You can pray a covering of God's grace over them and you can hide them in the house of God. Amen. Pastor, I've got children who've wandered away from the Lord and they're dead in trespasses and sins and they're out there in the world. I want to remind you, there was a little woman in the time of Elijah who had built a room onto her house for the prophet of God. And when her son died, instead of planning a funeral, she laid him on the prophet's bed and she went and got the man of God. And he came and laid on him and breathed on him and God brought breath back into his body. Why? Because she had made room in her house for God. She had a refuge. She had an upper room where she could go and pray and lay him. And some of you today have children who are away from God. Don't give up on those children. As long as there's life, there's hope for them. Come and lay them in the altar. Come and lay them on the upper room. Come and lay them in God's presence and intercede for them in prayer and believe God. And don't plan a funeral, plan a resurrection. Amen. Amen. There is a refuge, but we must run and we must remain. It's a safe place and a secret place. I close with this today. I want you to notice the powerful reflection. He that dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow. A shadow is just a reflection. It's a reflection of your body that is cast because of the sunlight. When we spend time in the secret place of the Most High, when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, God's presence will rub off on us. The Bible says when Moses came down from the mountain after 40 days and nights, his face was shining, and the glory of God was so strong that he put a veil over his face because it made the people uncomfortable. As Beth Moore said, what happens in worship doesn't stay in worship. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they took notice that the disciples, unlearned, uneducated men, they took notice of one thing, that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you, you can tell when you're around somebody who's been with Jesus. Their time in the presence of Jesus rubs off on them, and there is a different atmosphere around them. The Bible says in Acts 5 that Peter spent so much time under the shadow of the Almighty that something happened to Peter's shadow as well. Acts 5 says they brought the sick into the street and laid them on their beds and couches so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them, and they were healed. Peter spent so much time in God's shadow, he was so close to God that it wasn't just Peter's shadow, it was the Lord's shadow that fell on them. Peter's shadow caught what God's shadow had. Amen. We need Christians who live so close to God that they're living under his shadow. And to get around that person is to get close to God. Every time your shadow touches them, his will too. Hallelujah. This is the purpose of Pentecost. God wants to live in such unbroken fellowship with his people, with his presence, that when people encounter us, they experience him. Amen. Some places leave their scent on you. If you go and spend a week at the beach, you're liable to come back and somebody smell your hair and go, wow, I smell the salt water in your hair, right? Some places leave their scent on you. How many of you know Waffle House will leave a scent on you? Amen? It'll leave a scent on you. You can tell when you've been to Waffle House. Just smell your clothes, right? Amen. Some places leave their scent. Have you ever hugged somebody and realized that they spent a lot of time with their dog? Some places leave their scent on you, amen? Yes. I want to tell you, in a good way, you and I can spend time in the presence of God, and his fragrance and his aroma will be left on us in a spiritual way. When you abide in the secret place of prayer, when you live your life under the shadow of the Almighty, his fragrance will mark you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life leading to life. But did you see what he said? We are the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing. When they get around you, they sense Jesus. And some of them can't stand it, and that's why they can't stand you. Some people don't like you because the Spirit of God in you irritates the demons in them. And they get all crossways with you. Don't take it personal. It's not even about you. It's about the Spirit of God who lives in you. And the spirits in them get agitated at the Spirit of God who lives in you. Amen. And to some people who don't love the Lord or want Jesus around, when you come around them, they hate the smell of that. They hate the presence of God. Amen. You ever had somebody use too much body spray and you get around them and you're thinking, man, I don't know how long I can stay in a room with this person. It's just overpowering and overwhelming, and you start to lose your breath, right? Amen. I want to tell you, I want to spend so much time in the presence of Jesus. I want to be so marked by his presence that when people get around me, there's an unmistakable aroma that I've been with Jesus and that his presence has marked my life. And that people either have to be okay with that or not okay with that. But the one thing that they're never in doubt about is they're not mistaken about who I am and where I've been and who I represent. Amen? I want that to be true of me. I hope you want that to be true of you. Some will love it, others will hate it, but nobody can deny it when you've spent enough time with God that His presence rubs off on you. What kind of impression does your life make? What kind of fragrance are you carrying? What scent do you leave behind you? It's been said everybody makes the room brighter. Some people when they enter and some people when they exit. Amen? I want to make the room brighter when I enter, not when I exit. Amen? And if you will spend time with God, you will do that. You smell like where you stay the most. Say that with me. You smell like where you stay most. And if you and I spend a lot of time in the world, in the television, in the internet, then we will smell like worry and anxiety and fear and bad news. And we will be negative and disgruntled and discouraged. And everyone who gets around us will know that that's true of us. But if we spend much time in prayer and God's word and God's presence, then we will have peace. And we will have joy, and we will have confidence in God, and we will know that He's got us and that we're going to be okay no matter what happens. And that will be evident to the people who get close to us. Amen? What fragrance are you leaving behind? You smell like where you stay most. When we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, everyone who gets close to us will be reminded of Him. We must run to Him and we must remain in Him. The only way to get there is to run to Jesus for refuge. Trust His death and resurrection. Kneel at the cross. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Surrender your life to Jesus. But we can't call on Him in trouble and then return to our old way of life when things calm down. We must not only run, we must remain. Abide in me, Jesus said. And if we will, we'll find He's a safe place and a secret place. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. Jesus said, if you go to the secret place and pray, your Father is there too. Not only can you hide there, you can hide your children there. You can keep your babies like Joash hidden in the house of the Lord. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Run to Jesus for refuge and be saved. Find refuge from every attack of the enemy. Come and hide your children in the house of the Lord. Come and lay your family members in His presence and wait and see what happens. I want you to stand with me. I want our team to come and sing as we give one more opportunity to open the altar today. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, one of my professors in seminary, he described prayer like this. He said, prayer is like holding a stick of butter up before the sun. If you'll hold it there long enough, something will begin to happen. Prayer is like the magnifying glass that catches the rays of the sun and focuses them down to a point. Do you remember playing with a magnifying glass like that? Some of you girls read books with magnifying glasses when you were kids. That's not what we boys did with them. What we did is we would catch the sun rays and we would start small controllable fires with them. The sun would go through that magnifying glass and focus it down to a point, and something would begin to smolder and spark, and finally it would blaze up. Can I tell you today, God has all power and His grace is available today. Yeah, but Pastor, how do I lay hold of that? Prayer is the magnifying glass that focuses the grace and the power of God down on a point, on a need. And what do? Just what you did with that magnifying glass. Catch the rays of the sun and hold it there long enough, and you'll see God begin to move and do something. What do today? Run to the refuge. Remain in the secret place. Abide under the shadow. Stay in His presence. Be faithful in prayer. Hold that thing up before the Lord until something happens. Push in prayer. Pray until something happens. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you and thank you for your people who have come in your presence. And Lord, this morning as we, Lord, hear your word, we thank you and we rejoice that through the blood of Jesus, by the cross, by your gospel that we've sung about all morning today, by your life and your blood, you've opened a way for us through your own broken body, that we could come into the refuge, that we could hide out in the secret place of God, that we could abide and remain under the shelter of the Most High. Father, today there are some in this room who maybe have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Lord, I pray that today they would come to believe, maybe for the first time, that You are the only one who can rescue them from sin and death, the only one who can deliver them from the grip of the enemy. And today they would run to You to be saved, that they would run to Jesus, that they would hide in the cross. Father, I pray for those today who have needs today, those who feel like the enemy is coming up against their life, who are in a great battle and under an attack. I pray for those today who have children that they need to hide in the house of God. I pray for those today who just need to run for refuge, that, Lord, You would meet us here and we would be able to lay our needs in Your presence and one more time agree in prayer and bring down the power and the presence of God to touch the point of need in prayer. Lord, I pray for those today who are here who would be willing to come and say, oh God, would You just fill me fresh with Your Spirit? Because when I leave this place, I want there to be an aroma about my life. I want there to be a fragrance about me. I want there to be something about my life that other people recognize. I want to be like those first disciples and people to take notice that I have been in the presence of Jesus. Lord, help me today. Lord, that's our prayer. As we open this altar, as we lift up our hearts where we stand to You, Lord, meet our needs, but even more than that, fill us with Your presence and Your glory. And may we be people who smell like where we've been today, who carry the fragrance and the aroma of Christ out of this room into this world among the lost and dying so that they might experience Christ when they encounter us in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. The altar's open if you need to come pray today. If you need to run to Jesus and be saved, the altar's open. If you have a need and you need someone to agree with you in prayer, you haven't moved already, the altar's open. If you just need God to fill you with His presence today so that you can be the aroma of Christ, the altar is open today.